Good evening, everybody. Thank you very much for your kind words. The shir should be a schus for all the cholim and all those who need Yeshuas. just to mention very, very quickly, I wrote a sefer on the Yud Gimel Ikrim, and the name of the sefer is Evan Shasia, and hence the name of my website. Anyway, so that's the explanation for the name. All right, now, Evan.
What does Evan Shasia mean?
Evan Shasia is the foundation stone that the world was created from. Evan Shemimeno Hushasa Olam, and that is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. As a matter of fact, in Bayis Sheni, where there was no Oron, because it was Nignaz, at the end of, before Nebuchadnezzar destroyed Bayis Rishon, they hid it, the Oron. In Bayis Sheni, they didn't have an Oron, so the Avoda of, when the Kodesh HaKadoshim was done, they sprinkled in front of the Evan Shasia. As is in the Gemara, and so it's the foundation stone that the whole world was created from, and the Yud Gimel Ikrim are the foundation stone of Judaism.
It just bothered me. I needed to know what it meant. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Now we can go on with the real
share. Okay, so the topic, what can we learn from a talking donkey? This is a very peculiar miracle that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, that the donkey should speak back to Bilam. Undoubtedly, Chazal tell us that he was caused great embarrassment by it. He certainly did not enjoy the experience. But we have to understand what we have to learn from it, because it wasn't his final punishment. He was later, killed. As a matter of fact, Chazal tells us Pinchas himself killed him. So we have to understand it was what was the revelation? What are we supposed to learn from the fact that the donkey spoke up against him and spoke up for, as it were, a donkey would speak up for his own honor? Everyone knows the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the Asur Dvarim Nivru Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. There were 10 things created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos, and we will give a brief overview on all of them. But one of those 10 was the Pia Asom. This mouth that HaKadosh Baruch Hu miraculously gave the donkey was already created, before the first Shabbos ever came in. It was pre-created, and what are we supposed to learn from that? That it was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was preparing the mouth of the donkey, ever since the days of creation, and not just Stam, on the sixth day, during the day, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created all the animals. Like as we know earlier, prior on the sixth day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu first created all the animals, the land-dwelling animals. And then he created man, but the Pia Asom was not created together with the creation of the other donkeys. That was special at the end of the sixth day, Bein HaShemashos. And we have to understand what Chazal are telling us with that. Now, it's interesting to note that we are in the parshas that deal with these mouths. 2 weeks ago, Parshas Korach was the Pia Aretz, the mouth of the earth. And last week, Parshas Chukas was the Pia Be'er, the mouth of the miraculous well that followed Am Yisrael everywhere. And Chazal say also that bear spoke and said Shira. And this week is Pia Ason. It's very interesting that right now we are in the parshas, one after another, of these three mouths. And they were all created Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashos, and we will endeavor to see what we can learn from them in general, why they're called mouths, and why they were created Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashos. But of course, in particular, the nes that's particular to this week's parasha, the Pia Ason, the mouth of the donkey. Now, before we go into this, later on in the same perek in Pirkei Avos, we have a rather cryptic Mishnah. Now, it's not cryptic in as far as understanding what the words are saying. It's just the overall message is beyond understanding, and that's the Mishnah towards the end of the perek. If you have three traits, you are a descendant, you are a Talmud, a disciple of Avram Avinu. If you have three other traits, you are a disciple of Bilam. Talmid Rav Shammah Avinu, certainly Talmid Rav Avinu, have been Ayin Tova. They're generous, Ruach Nemucha, and they're humble, V'Nefesh Fala, and they're not greedy. You know, they're not into any of their desires. Talmid Rav Shabila Marasha, Talmid Rav Marasha, they're the opposite. Ayin Ra, they look by Ayin Ra on everyone else. Ruach Gvoa, and they're haughty. V'Nefesh Rechava, and they're full of Taiva. So far, so good. But then the Mishnah says something which, you know, the words are easy to understand, but the concept is mind-blowing. Ma ben Talmid Shel Avinu, Talmid Shel Bilam Rasha. What is the difference between the Talmidim of Avram Avinu and the Talmidim of Bilam Rasha? Talmid Shel Avram Avinu, Ochlim Bozev, Ochlim Avaba. The Talmidim of Avram Avinu, they eat in this world. They have a good life here. V'Ochlim Avaba, and they inherit the world to come. Shneva L'Ancho Avayev, V'Otrosam Al-Maleh. I will give those who love me yesh, you know, referring to a Mishnah and Uktzin, that Kosher was destined to give the tzaddikim 310 olamos in Olam Haba, and I'll fill up their treasures, that's also in Olam Hazeh. I will tamid of Shabila Marasha, but tamid of Shabila Yorshim Gehenom, they inherit Gehenom. Yordel Bereshach, they go down to total obliteration. Shneva Vato, Kim Tarn Bereshachas, Anchidomir Lechsim Mev, Ani Eftach Bach. Now this is. This is impossible to understand. What is the Mishnah talking about? You just told me that Bilam is, he doesn't forgive others, and he is haughty, and he's full of taiva, the opposite of all of Avramavinu's good traits. And then you ask, what is the difference between the Talmid of Avram Avinu and the Talmid of Bilam Rasha? It's obvious. These are tzaddikim, these are rishayim. It's like the Mishnah is asking like an obvious question. What's the difference? You just told me the difference. And then the Mishnah spells out the outcome that any cheder yingel could calculate himself. The tzaddikim get olam hazeh and olam haba. The rishayim get neither and go to Gehenna. So what was the Mishnah asking? Like the simplest of questions. After lining up Avram Avinu and his talmidim as being balei midos talvus, right? Everyone with me? Hello?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
fine. Yeah, okay, just making sure. They are Bali Midas Tavis and the Talmidei Bilam Bali Midas Ros. It's obvious that these are the ones who are going to go to Gan Eden, and these are the ones who are going to go to Hanum. What is the Mishnah talking about? Okay, so before we go on to get back to the Asar Drav Shnivu Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashas, I'd like to make an observation. Anyone who would read the Parsha, just Chumash, right, without Rashi, and you just go through the Parsha with a standard Hebrew-English dictionary, right, not with Rashi, who was, Rashi doesn't just translate the words. Rashi brings to the table, he brings to the page the Parsha Baal Peh. He brings Chazal to the page. I'd imagine going through the Parsha with a literal translation of the Psukim. What does Bilam look like? He looks like a very, very honorable person. I mean, if you take the words at face value, whatever God puts in my mouth, I'm going to make sure that I'm going to say that. I'm not going to say anything else. If Rashi, in the name of Chazal, right, point out subtle inferences like in me tenly bolak malo peso kesavazov, if bolak will give me, even if he'll give me, I can't go against Hashem. So Rashi points out, well, whoever mentioned money, why do you mention it? No one bolak mentioned money, but if not for that subtle inference that I can't speak for my audience that I'm talking to right now, I would have never caught that myself. Right, if I would have just looked at the text and translated literally, Bilam seems like a very honorable, upright, God-fearing citizen. Only wants to do what's right. I would have not caught these subtle inferences, and obviously those subtle inferences are MS if Chazal say it and see it. But there's got to be something to learn, from the fact that, the text, only Al-Pi the Torah Shebaal Peh do we know. What Bilam was really thinking and what a rotten person he really was. There's a message there. The fact that it took the Torah Shebaal Peh to reveal these subtleties to us, that there's something going on over there. All right, so I want to go back to that Mishnah that we opened up with. You know, the Asar Drav Shnivu Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashas. And, of course, we're going to mainly dwell on the three mouths, and of the three mouths, the Piyarts and the Piyaber and the Piyasar, of which we're going to dwell on that mainly. And we're going to dwell mainly on the Pia Oson, as what happened this week's Parsha. But I want to quickly read through all 10, and we'll see a very interesting common denominator. Without going into too much detail, let me just read through them quickly. So, Pia Oretz, Pia Be'er, Pia Oson, the mouth of the earth, that's Swal Kor, the mouth of the Be'er of last week's Parsha, and the Pia Oson of this week's Parsha. Hakeshet, right, the rainbow. Hamon, right, the mon, which Bnei Yisrael ate in the desert. Vahamate, right, and the staff. So I see some of the Farshim attributed to the mate of Aaron, which also is in Parshas Korach. Vashamir, right, and the shamir, which they used to cut the stones for Beis Hamikdash. Haktav, Vahdechtav, writing, language and writing. Vahluchos, and the luchos. Vesharim, Afamazikim. Some say also the mazikim, those are the shadim and those that cause damage. Kvurasu shal Avram, some add, Kvurasu shal Moshe, rather, some add the burial place of Moshe. Ve'elo shal Avram, and the ram that Avram Vinu sacrificed instead of Yitzchak. Ve'eshrim asvasa, Fratasuya, some say also the tongues, right, you need a pair of tongs to make a pair of tongs. You know, when you melt the metal in the fire, it's where the first pair of tongs come from. All right, so there's a first thing to observe from the list is that the overwhelming majority, more than 50% of these 10 things that we just read, happen all in the same era. Which era is that? Dor HaMidbar. So, Piyar, it's Piyar Be'er, Piyar Ason, the Mon, the Mate, Aktav, Ba'Michtav, and the Luchos, and Kvuroso Shel Moshe, and, much more, the vast majority, happened during the Dor HaMidbar. And that's something which, deserves observation, that it will perhaps get us to what these 10 things are about. And once we get to the crux, we'll know how to fit in the few odd men out, the Keshet, in the days of Noah, right? And the Isle of Avram, and the Mazikim, and the pair of tongues. So, dating is like this. We refer to Am Yisrael, all over, whether it's in Tanakh, whether it's in Tefillah, whether it's in Medrash, I refer to Am Yisrael as Goy Echad Ba'aretz. Right, like Shabbos Mincha time, Umi Kam Choyso Goy Echad Ba'aretz. Or the famous Chazal, by the Karbonus of Shmini Atzeres, Par Echad, Ayil Echad, it's all one Karbon as opposed to the massive amount of Karbonus that were during the days of Sukkot, that were 70 bulls, Keneshivim Parm, Keneshivumos, but on Shmini Atzeres, it's only Par Echad, Ayil Echad, Keneget Uma Yechida, for the single nation. And the list, goes on and on, whether Chazal, Sukkim, the idea that there's one nation, Am Yisrael. How is that true? How is that true? There were 70 nations, at least, by inception, right? And then, of course, they've subdivided into many nations as per, look at a world map. Right? What do we mean? Am Yisrael is the one nation. Umma Yechida. What does that mean? How will you understand that? Right? So the pshat is like this. Obviously, we're not talking about how the United Nations divides up the world. We're talking about the map of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's map, right? How many nations were there supposed to be by the original design? By Bria Sa'olam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam, right? And of course it was understood, he told them Peru Revu, they should be fruitful and multiply, but even though there'd be, he wanted there to be many people, millions and millions of people. But how many nations did he want? He wanted to be millions of people. How many nations? Answer, only one nation. By the original design, it was only supposed to be 1 hour. Because he wanted he wanted everyone to be Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kodosh, like Am Yisrael, a nation of priests and a holy nation. Right, so, the sad reality that we live in, and as we're going to explain, that sad reality began with Chet Adam Arishon, as we're going to explain. But the sad reality is that there's only one Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kodosh. There's only one nation that has HaKadosh Baruch Hu as their king and as their leader and is dedicated to serving him, and that's Am Yisrael. But did HaKadosh Baruch Hu want any other type of nation? Of course not. Now, he served man, he created man to serve him, for man's own pleasure, as we know. As the Ramchal tells us at the beginning of many of his Svarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be mative, bestow goodness, but of course to bestow goodness that's earned, so it shouldn't be Nahamad Kisufa, shouldn't be bread of shame, that man should have a real acquisition of goodness, and you'll get it by serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he wanted for mankind. So he didn't want there to be such a thing as a different type of man that doesn't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And just like man is supposed to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, man is supposed to use all the resources that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, in order to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the secret, that man, who is the most choshev thing in creation, was created last. Right? You would think it should be the other way around. If man is the most important thing that God created, it should have been created first. So why was it created last? It was created last because the Adam was his mission is to use all the resources that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, use them to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you can't create Adam first because he would be walking the earth unable to do his mission. His mission is to take everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created and use it to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the one nation on earth would also bring unity to the whole world, a cosmic unity, because this one nation would use all the resources that they could possibly tap into to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now here's an amazing thing, right, that Chazal tell us that in the Sefer Torah of Rebbe Meir, Rebbe Meir had his own Sefer Torah, obviously, not for laning purposes, for reasons that will become obvious in a second. He had a Sefer Torah where he had different words and different oisius that in our Sifrei Torah, obviously was meant for his own personal record, because it would not be kosher for laning, because there were deviations from the text as we have it. And Chazal noted, it must have been for Meir's private use. So it says, Dayas Hashem Okim Adam Chamshal Kosnos Or, right? He made in our Sefer Torah says Kosnos Or, vestments of leather, or with an iron, right? And the Sefer Torah Shareim Matzu Kosuv Kosnos Or with an aleph, vestments of light, right? So what was Rabbi Meir alluding to, right? So the Mefarshim explained he was alluding to the big change that there was as a result of Chet Adam Arishon. Now, as the Ramchal writes in the Das Tfunis, Adam Arishon's body before the sin was on the level of what our neshama is right now. Adam Arishon's guf was on the level of our neshama as we know it today. And the simple proof of that, it may sound like an amazing chiddush, but when you think about it, that has to be the case. Because where did Adam Arishon live? He lived in Gan Eden. Right? Now, in our day and age, only spiritual entities, like a neshama outside of a guf, can go to Gan Eden. And Adam Arishon was there with his body. So that means that Adam Arishon's body was on the level of our soul. And if that was the level of his body, you can only imagine, or rather you could hardly imagine, what was the level of his soul. Right? So that means Adam Arishon, he was kosnos or, he was vestments of light. Even his guf was like or, was like light, was as refined as light as opposed to or with an iron, as opposed to skin. He was light as opposed to skin. Right? And that was before the sin. Right, so, and after the sin, you know, we went down from kosmos or with an aleph, that our body was like vestments of light on top of the neshama, to now being vestments of or with an ayin, vestments of skin. So points out Rav Isaac Hover an amazing thing. What's the difference in gematria between aleph and ayin? Right? We went from or with an aleph, so it's or, aleph is gematria 1. Right, to ayin, to or with an ayin, which is gematria 70. We went down from being, when Adam, when mankind were beings of light, there was only going to be one nation on earth. Everyone would have been what we call today Jewish. Now they wouldn't be called Jewish, it would be called mankind. But you know, all of mankind, when they were on beings of light, right, were going to be like just one nation, you know, what we call Jewish today. Right? But then when we went from or with an aleph, you know, light, to or with an ayin, to skin, we went from 1 to 70. And that's why there are 70 primary nations. Right? That when man went from light to skin, right, and he broke off from his Dveikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, going from light to skin, that's going from 1 to 70. And that's why there are Shivim Umos. But all those Shivim Umos, which are the primary nations, all the nations of the world are offshoots of today, that all those nations came into being because of Chet Adam Rishon. Now that man did. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't do it, that was mankind's sin. So that means HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself only really created one nation. Mankind created 70 nations that, you know, then branched out, you know, from 70 to however many the United Nations would count today. And that was all because of the sin that you know, as we know, lowered our Madrega and increased the power of the Yetzer Hara, who's become, you know, the Yetzer Hara has become the competing master, of the universe, the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And just like we said before, man was meant to use all of creation to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, so of course the defilement of man, that there is such a thing as nations that don't serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rachman al-Islam. You know, that's not the Jewish nation. We're a Mamlechas Konim, B'Goy Kosh, Ashayom Shashem Elokav. Right, we're the nation that Hashem is our God, is our King. Right, but there are other nations that don't identify the way, basically every other nation other than Am Yisrael. Right, but that also defiled the Bria. That defiled the whole cosmos. Because Am Yisrael is meant to use everything in the cosmos to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now you have these competing nations that don't have that on their agenda. Serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not on their agenda. And they also use the resources of the world for their purposes. They use the resources of the world, right, for negative purposes. So their existence is not just a yurida, you know, a descent in level for mankind. It's a yurida for the whole cosmos. And that's why it's not a coincidence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Adam immediately after the sin, you know, Arura ha'adama ba'avurecha, earth is cursed because of you. You know, everything went down in Madrega. Right? And that's why the earth now doesn't, you know, life is not as easy as it used to be. And this whole thing, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't just the earth. It was also on all those that dwell in earth. Everything got defiled. Everything went down in Madrega. And the continued use, right, the continued use of the resources on earth, not for Avodas Hashem, just further and further defiles, you know, creation, as opposed to how the Adam was meant to fix creation by harnessing everything to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everyone with me? It's hard to tell when you don't see the crowd. Anyway. Okay. Anyway. Yes. Okay. So now in the process that actually starts from Noah, but in a very non-obvious way, as we're going to explain, right? But a process that actually starts with Noah, but more obviously gets started with Avraham Avinu, and comes to fruition in the Dor HaMidbar, is to get a nation back that's according to plan, basically to cause the emergence of Am Yisrael. You know, what's a little bit obvious is that Avraham Avinu built the potential for Am Yisrael. He built the potential, and he got promises from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He got haftachas, He got all types of promises. And of course, well, himself, tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I only made promises to them. I haven't delivered yet. That's why I need to take Am Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Right? And so now all those promises made to Avraham Avinu because of how exceptional Avraham Avinu was, right, come to fruition with the door of Moshe Rabbeinu. We're actually taken out of Mitzrayim, recently school of Mikol HaAmim, and we get the Torah. Right? And then it's called that we've raised a nation that's finally a nation according to plan. So the roots of all the other nations of the world, Chet Odom Arishon. The roots of Am Yisrael's physical existence, are Avraham Avinu, but there's a step before that that I'm going to get to. That's the root. It comes to fruition with Moshe Rabbeinu and the giving of Torah. Right? But of course, there is in concept, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Na'ase Adam, he meant an Adam like Am Yisrael. Everyone knows the famous pasuk in Yechezkel and the drosh of Chazal on that pasuk. Rekach etzon mariti Adam atem. I took my herd that I shepherd. You are Adam. Say Chazal, famous Chazal. Atem kurim Adam, ve'eina atem kurim Adam. You're called Adam. Right, the goyim are not called Adam. And there are quite a few halachas that we learn out from that. And that we're called Adam, they're not called, meaning when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Na'ase Adam, he had Am Yisrael in mind. People like Am Yisrael in mind. He didn't have the goyim in mind. That's what it means. Atem kurim Adam. So even if we're like the youngest of nations, relative to the original 70, because they emerged already fully by the Dor HaFlaga. Right? But, of course, in concept, we were first with a concept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind. So, I want to go back to the Keshet, right, the rainbow. That's one of the 10 things that are mentioned here. And then I'm going to go back to all 10, and then we'll start going full circle. Right, the rainbow. Now, the rainbow is probably the greatest cause for anti-Semitism. Now, why do I say that? First of all, I say this, Mipi Mori Varabir Moshe Shapiro, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a covenant with the world. He's not going to destroy the world again. Now, everyone could think, all earth dwellers could think, they have a deal with God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he promised not to destroy them again. that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu must be happy with them as they are. Now that's what's very deceptive, because the keshet, right, the rainbow, was for Noach. That's when all of humanity were still B'nai Noach. Right, it was before the emergence of Avraham Avinu, right, which starts the roots and the process of creating an Am Yisrael. Right? So that's what's very deceiving about the rainbow, people might think that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this bris with the entirety of mankind with no kesher to the Jewish people. That's what you might think, and that's the big mistake. And that's the mistake that the Goyim make, that they think that they're okay just the way they are, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made this covenant with them, when there was no such thing as B'nai Yisrael. Avraham Avinu was not yet born. But there's an interesting Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kuf Lamed Tes, a fascinating Gemara. A lot of people know segments of this Gemara because this Gemara is always invoked Purim time. Now the Gemara says, Moshe min HaTorah minayin. Where can we see a remez to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah even before he was born? So the Gemara says, brings the following pasuk at the end of Parshas Bereishis, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is already decreeing the Mabul. Lo yadun ruchi b'adam le'olam. I'm not going to contend with man forever. B'shagam hu basar, for he is flesh. Riyavav me'ev asur shana, as a parshas lashon of pasuk. He's going to live 120 years. Says the Gemara, that's a remez to Moshe Rabbeinu. B'shagam, shagam is gematria Moshe. Right? For he is flesh, that's gematria Moshe. And that's what the pasuk ends, and he's going to live 100, there'll be 120 years. The pasuk shot is that there's 120 years left till the flood comes, but we know Moshe Rabbeinu lived to 120. So that pasuk, which was the gzera of the Mabul, is a remez to Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, and after that, the reason why I say everyone mentions this Gemara Purim times, because immediately after that, the Gemara launches into Hama Minatara Minayin, Esther Minatara Minayin, or after that, it goes straight into all the finding allusions to all the characters of the Purim story. You know, Hamina Eitz, and Banochi Haste Esther Panai, etc., etc., which we're not going to deal with that. You know, what, you know, why Moshe Rabbeinu is connected to the stories of Purim, you know, that's That's another share. You'll have to invite me back a Purim time. Right, but for the meantime, right, an amazing thing that Moshe Rabbeinu is alluded to by the Dor HaMabul. An amazing thing. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu got frustrated with the world because the world is not really to be Makabel Torah. Right, and of course, you know, he destroyed it with water. Everyone knows that the Torah is Nimshel Lamayim. The Torah is compared to water. Right, and this it says in the Zohar, right, you know, that the... there was a Kosher who lost, as it were, for lack of a better word, lost his patience, and he saw that the world in that form could never receive Torah. So it's as if the Torah itself destroyed them. That's what it means. They were flooded. You know, they were flooded. Because Torah is all compared to water, you know, you don't have Kalim to be Makabel Torah. But it was all about Torah. Because the world is not ready for Torah. Right? And the world, you know, it had to be like reformed and refashioned. Reconstructed, you know, to have any hope of being Makabel Torah. But it was all about terror. You know, it wasn't that, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't like the type of people that there were, you know, before Noah, but he likes Noah, right? And he likes the B'nai Noah. Nah, it was about terror. The world was destroyed because it wasn't rolling for terror. And that's why there's a remnant to Moshe Rabbeinu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted there to be like a Moshe Rabbeinu figure, finally, to bring down the Torah. And the world could never take that, since he was Gezer the Mabul. And it was all about Torah. It means that the world was reconstructed for the sake of Torah, because that's why it was destroyed. Because the world wasn't ruling for Torah. And making the new world was all about for the sake of the Torah. That means that Noah is not a goal unto his own. Right? The goal is to get to, begin a process where humanity could refine itself until it could be Makabel Torah. And that means that the Keshet, right, the rainbow, it's not for the B'nai Noach. It's because the B'nai Noach were at that time carrying within them the potential for B'nai Yisrael. That means the rainbow is really for us. Because the whole reason why the world was destroyed was all about Torah. And that means that the world was rebuilt and there's a covenant with the world because the new world could, you know, be refined and develop itself, and expand, and be roi for Torah. And that's what the Keshet is doing there. Right? And that's what Elosh Avram Avinu is doing there. And Elosh Avram Avinu, right, is in that Mishnah, right, is that, you know, we know that Avram Avinu finally earned his place, earned his place, I guess you could say, concretized his place, you know, as, you know, the man who is roi to be the father of the Jewish people, and not just the father, you know, biologically, right, but to be, as it were, the pillar that Am Yisrael stands on, with Akedas Yitzchak. Ate Yedati Kirel Kim Ata. Right now, Raz Rashi says, if the Goyim ever complained, why did Jews get preferential treatment? No, I say, look what Avraham Avinu was willing to do. Right, the justification of the privileged position that the Jewish people have was with the Akedah. Now we know that that was finalized with sacrificing that Ayil. Right? That Ayil that Avinu sacrificed instead of Yitzchak. You know, he did it with all the kavanas as if he was sacrificing Yitzchak, Chazal say. Right? That, you know, he wasn't like, I'm relieved that I don't have to sacrifice my son. No, that wasn't any of that. You know, he was actually disappointed that he was deprived of the mitzvah. So, he didn't want to just get schar for being willing. He wanted it to be as if he actually did it. So that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him that ayil to actually perform and to do it in maisa, not just in intention, but to have a real type of expression in physical reality that doesn't just be just good intent and good heart. And Chazal tells us that Ayo had a din of Efer Yitzchak. It had a din as if it was the ashes of Yitzchak, that Efer Yitzchak, Sobor Murach, the ashes of Yitzchak, are forever in front of the divine throne. And we know from that we got the shofar of Elo Shel Avram. And that shofar, Rashi says, V'kol ha-shofar, holach, holach, v'chazek ma'od. Rashi says right there, kol shofar shel Yitzchak. Right, you know, that's the shofar from that aisle. That concretized his position as being worthy of creating a chosen people that are going to get the Torah by Har Sinai. And the shofar by Har Sinai was the shofar of that aisle. So that means that, you know, these odd men out, like the Kesha and the Ayel Shel Avram, are stepping stones for the mainstay of what everything that's in that Mishnah. The mainstay of everything that's in that Mishnah, you know, is what happened during the Dor HaMidbar. Because that's the door that got the Torah, and that's what brought to full fruition a nation that's according to the plan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had in mind. So now, if you, I don't want to take up too much time, because I do want to focus on the Pia Ason, which is our main sugya. Right? But if you, if you want to just get a little bit of an appreciation, right, of what the parallels are, because of the sin of Adam, you're going to eat by the sweat of your brow, right? That was a result of the sin. What's the total opposite of that? The total opposite of that, man, because first of all, it's holy bread; it's not the earthly bread. But man comes effortlessly; ain't no sweat in collecting mud, right? It fell right at your doorstep, right? And for the people who weren't so righteous, their whole bezeas apecho was they had to go a little bit, they had to like walk a few steps to collect their portion. That was the type of work you had to do. That was the there was like no concept of bezeas apecho tochalech, in the mud, right? We find that, the earth was cursed. The trees were cursed. Everything, nothing was the same. You have the parallel, the polar opposite with the Mate Aharon, right? The staff of Aharon. That this thing even was detached from the ground. It blossomed and bloomed and stayed, it perpetually like fresh until they were going to sit at the end of, Bayis Rishon. And you could just go on and on that, so let's say one of the things that stands out. So, of course, the Luchos, bringing the Torah to earth because, mankind, because of sin, wasn't roi for Torah. And, so even the Shamir, right, so the one thing that another man out is, the Shamir to cut the stones for the Beis HaMikdash. Well, of course, in the Midbar, you didn't need the Shamir because they didn't make the Mishkan out of stone. Right, but you understand that because in the Dor HaMidbar, they became worthy of a Mishkan, of the Shekhinah dwelling amongst us on earth, because we became that nation, that Hashem Elokav, Hashem is the king and the God of this nation. That's what made it, the world worthy of a divine presence on earth, because there's a nation on earth. That's why we get the Shamir. So now here's the beauty of it. All this, right? All this Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashos. What does that tell you? What is it about all these things which I'm explaining? Things are all about, the saving humanity from the saving a segment of humanity, which is Am Yisrael, from the head of Adam Arishim, and rebuilding, a nation according to the original plan, the one nation that there should be, the one nation that serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All this is Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashos. Right? What's the significance of Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashos? Well, two things, right? First of all, plain and poshut. When did Adam Rishon sin? What day was it? Chazal tells us that unfortunately he sinned within 2 hours of being created. Right, that 1 hour after he created, he got the tzivui, and by the next hour he had sinned. Right, and then the day wasn't over yet. It was still Friday afternoon. Right, and then he was judged. The next hour, and the hour after that was the 12th hour, which led him to Shkia, right? That's Yotzer B'Dimus, he left, he emerged from HaKadosh Baruch Hu with grace, and that set the precedent for Rosh Hashanah, as Chazal tells us. you know, that every year, and we're judged on the same day that Adam Rishon was judged on, and we are Yotzei Bedimus, we go out with, you know, divine grace. So the sin of Adam happened Friday afternoon. Right? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, after the sin happened, right, like we said, he judged, and his judgment ended at Shkia. Right, his judgment ended in the 12th hour. Right, he said, okay, then now this is where it's going to be, as because of what the sins that you did, right, and so judgment is, you know, is given, and, you know, and the Chet Adam Rishon, you know, all the consequences have been decreed. So, and that happens at sunset. Okay? So what happens right after Ben Hashmashis is, you know, in that twilight zone, literally twilight zone, between sunset and Tzeis HaKochavim, that, you know, we in Halacha are machmir, you know, to give it the chumras of both, like we don't do Malacha Matzei Shabbos until Tzeis HaKochavim, and we also desist from Malacha, you know, on Erev Shabbos at Shkia, you know, because we don't know exactly what part of that twilight zone is today, what part of that twilight zone is tomorrow, right? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu does know, like Rashi tells us in Chumash. So during that time when it's still not Shabbos yet, it's after the sin and it's after the judgment, but it's still the days of creation, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still creating new things. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu quickly creates these 10 things. These 10 things that are going to save us from Chet Adam HaRishon. Right? So A is Erev Shabbos, Pirush Shabbos, because they're coming, and this Yehav Bar Brunel says in his Pirush HaNovis, because they're coming as a tikkun, and a way to extricate, you know, mankind, that mankind that's going to be called Klal Yisrael, right, from the quagmire, right, that they got into as a royal Chet Adam HaRishon. So he creates this, you know, he creates these remedies, right, after mankind fell, right. But there's another deeper nekuda here, and this the Maharal points out. We know that the 6 days of the week are connected Olam Hazeh. How long is Olam Hazeh going to last? Mara tells us. Shita Feshtin Habe Alma. The world's going to last 6,000 years. The world's going to last 6,000 years. Usa, and then in the Lechad Chorub, and then in the 7th millennium, the world is going to lay desolate. Like Shabbos, you know, Shabbos, the world's going to cease, like Shabbos. At the end of the 7th millennium, HaKadosh Baruch Hu renews the world, and that's Olam Haba. Right, that's, you know, it's 1,000 years per day. Right? So, you know, the work week is a mashal for the 6,000 years of Olam Hazeh, and Shabbos Me'im Olam Haba, because that's really where Olam Haba starts from. It starts from, you know, putting a cessation, you know, putting a cap, you know, stopping, you know, breaking out of the cycle of Chol, you know, putting Olam Hazeh to rest and ceasing it and getting out of the box. That's what ushers in Olam Haba. Right? So Shabbos is connected Olam Haba, you know, the 7th millennium that is, ushers in, enables the coming of Olam Haba. The 6 days a week are connected Olam Hazeh. Right? Kol Yisrael Yesh lem chelk olam haba, right? All klai shav chelk olam haba. If you have the very basic virtue of being Jewish, which, by the way, according to the Rambam, means believing in the mutual imprint. But you know, Am Yisrael is the nation that's destined to make it to olam haba, right? And in olam haba, it'll be literal, not poetic. In olam haba, literally, there'll only be one nation there. There's only going to be one nation. Am Yisrael, right? That, you know, and all the other nations in the world are not going to be in Olam Haba. Right? In Olam Haba, it's going to be literal that Am Yisrael is going to be Goy Echad Baretz, and that which, you know, that we have a concept. I'm sure people in the crowd are speaking up, but I can't hear them. What about Chasidei Umos HaElam? What about the righteous of the nations of the world? Says the Ramchal in the Derech Hashem. They don't have a separate national identity. The Chasidei Umos HaElam, the righteous Gentiles, like those that risked their lives to save Jews in the Holocaust, who truly deserve Olam Haba for them, They don't have a separate nationality. They are, they're Goyim, but they're like citizens of the Jewish people, the way the Ramchal says in Berach Shem, they're like appendages. So Am Yisrael is the one nation makes it to Olam Haba. Shabbos is the day that's connected, parallel Olam Haba. These 10 things have to create the link between, you know, the 6 days of Chol, which are connected Olam Hazeh, and Shabbos, which is Kodesh, and is connected Olam Haba. These 10 things are all instrumental in making that transition, or these 10 things energize and empower Am Yisrael to be the nation that will live through that transition, make that transition and live through that transition and be the only ones that survive that transition. Like Bilam says to Amalek in this week's parsha, Reishis Goyim Amalek, V'achriso Adeovi, he's the first of nations, for reasons that I'll explain another time, right? But Achariso Adeovi, in the end, he'll be obliterated. You know, they don't have a future. Only Am Yisrael has a future, right? We're, like the Maharal says, it's implied by our words, Yisrael. Our name ends off with Shem Hashem, implying that Am Yisrael's end is to be, just be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Olam Haba. Right? We're the nation that makes the transition, or called survives the transition. Right? And these 10 elements that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, Erev Shabbos, Ben Shabbos, like he put them there between the weekdays and Shabbos, those things are also, you know, created the energies that make the bridge to make a nation that will make it from Olam Hazeh to Olam Haba. Okay? So now, what didn't we explain? We didn't explain Pia Oretz and Pia Be'er and Pia Asom. These are the things we haven't explained yet. That why is it, you know, after the things that we had in the last two parshas and this week's parsha, you know, they're called mouths, and they were all created Erev Shabbos Ben HaShemashos. So first, I'll tell you something very, very nice in the name of the Abar Ben El, and then we'll go one step further. Right, that the there were three people, for lack of a better word, for reasons I said will become obvious in a second. There are just three characters. Three main characters in the sin of Adam Rishon: Adam, Chava, and the Nachash. Right? So now, says the Abar Vinel, so the Dor HaMidbar, like we explained, are all coming to undo the Chet of Adam Rishon, partially, at least to the point that we enable an Am Yisrael to emerge. Right? And by the way, temporarily, if, Shivas B'Talmas is upon us, Kosher should help, Mashiach should come first, right? But Shabbos Tars, the Cheda Ego, right? But if not for the Cheda Ego, the Gemara says Yisrael Shomdu Har Sinai Foskas Lumasim. We actually successfully, temporarily, got totally beyond the sin of Adam, in the time between Matan Torah, and the Cheda Ego. With the Cheda Ego, sadly, we reversed it. But even though we reversed a lot of the progress that we made, but still, we remained Am Yisrael. This nation that's destined to get back to what Adam Rishon was before the sin, and to climb even higher. Okay, so now, Keneged Adam, Chava, and the Nachash, says the Abar Vinel, is the Pia Oretz, the Pia Be'er, and the Pia Aso. How so? And that, Adam, went down to, I should explain also that the three characters that are connected, obviously the Osong, the donkey is connected to Nochash, animal for animal, and we'll go deeper in that in a second, right? The Be'er was in the S'chus of who? S'chus of Miriam, right? As it says in last week's Parsha, Am Yisrael got thirsty after Miriam died, because Rashi brings a chazal, because the bear was b'schus Miriam, and they needed new schuyot to bring the bear back. Miriam is keneged Chava. Moshe is keneged Adam. So here's a beautiful thing that the Abar Vinel says. I'm adding a few words of my own, but this idea is in the Sefer Nachlas Avos of the Abar Vinel. Adam went down to earth, right? He was supposed to be heavenly, but he went after his typhus. And he became earthly.
Right, and that's Rambam says ki offer ata. We started off with what we created from offer, vel offer toshu. You've gone down, back down to the dirt. Right, that's where the person dies. He goes down into the ground. Right, now Moshe Rabbeinu is the opposite of that. Moshe Rabbeinu is a man that went to heaven. Moshe was able to go to Shemayim with his body. You know, with his body, went to Shemayim. You know, he did it, you know, more than once. As so Moshe Rabbeinu is the opposite of that. Now Korach, who starts up with Moshe Rabbeinu, is anti-Moshe Rabbeinu, so he's the opposite of what Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the opposite of the failure of Adam. Adam went down to earth, right? Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Shemayim. He's able to go to Shemayim with his body. Korach, who is anti-Moshe Rabbeinu, he gets swallowed up in the earth. And now the Be'er is Beschus Miriam, and the Be'er was a big chesed, and Miriam was Metakev, the Chet of Chava. And in that, she was a tikkun for Chava, that's why we got the miraculous waters. And she was a tikkun for Chava. The Pia Asom, says the Abarganel, that's a countermeasure for the Nachash. The Nachash spoke, you know, the Nachash had the gift of speech. You know, it's a frightening thing, you know. We overlook, you know, the Nachash not only had legs, as we know, before he got them clipped off, he had the power of speech. And he used that power of speech to speak against the Kodesh Baruch. Right? Right, you know, and to Khan, you know, Adam and Chava spoke Lashon Hara against the Kodesh Baruch, you know, Kodesh was afraid. You know, if you eat from this tree, you know, you'll be able to compete with him. Right? So the Dibur of the donkey, right, is a tikkun for that. Right, that the donkey is now granted power of speech, but to give Bilam Musa, right, and to put Bilam in his place. Because Bilam is coming to now uproot Am Yisrael. And Am Yisrael is like the nation that's repairing the chet of Adam Arisha, that the Nachash conned Adam Arisha into. And so the donkey, representing all animals, on behalf of all animals, is making a tikkun for what the Nachash did. The Nachash with the power of speech conned Adam and Chav into the chet. And now, you know, Bilam wants to uproot the progress of trying to undo the chet, because he wants to uproot Am Yisrael. That's coming to be the type of humanity that's going to rise above chet Adam Rishon. So the donkey speaks and puts Bilam into his place. And he's drawing Naim Veruim Lamisha Amram. But it's time to take it another level. Right? And these ideas are in the Maharal and other Svarim, right, that the, you know what's still missing? Because even if Am Yisrael is destined, right, to rise above Chet Adam Rishon, which is that will be finalized with the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, and then from Mashiach Tzidkenu we work on even attaining higher levels that Adam Rishon was meant to attain and he never attained. Not only so we make back what he lost with the coming of Mashiach, and yet we have more to go and climb yet higher and attain those madrigas he was meant to attain and didn't attain. But, you know, when that happens, you know, it shouldn't look like, you know, that the world wasn't meant to be that way, but the Jews conquered the world. The Jews conquered the world and imposed a new world order. You know, basically what, you know, Hitler and Marshall were saying about the Jews. They're trying to, world conspiracy, they're trying to impose their world order on us, punishing us with, you know, a conscience, right? You know, we need a admission. We need an admission. We need an admission that life was always meant to be this way. It's not enough that from the point when Am Yisrael will rise to their glory and Am Yisrael become great again, you know, that it's not enough that from that point onwards things will be good and things will be according to divine plan. That's not enough. We need an admission that it was always meant to be. We need an admission, right? And that's what you do with your mouth, you admit, right? And, you know, and that's, you know, that's the whole avoda, you know, the main avoda that there is, you know, for all the 6,000 years that that things are going to be tough because of Chet Adam Rishon. So through all those generations, saying, L'dor v'dor, nodeh l'cha. Now, nodeh means thank, but also means to admit. We have to admit that the world order of Torah, the world order of Avos Shem, the world order that Am Yisrael represents, we have to admit, and we have to have the whole world admit that
And that's the way it was meant to be. It was always meant to be that way. It's not enough that when we finally reconquer the world, it'll be that way from that time moving forward. We also need that to see it retroactively. There has to be an admission. Right? So now let's go back to the P'aretz very very quickly, because I want to spend more time on the P'aretz, because it's this week's parsha, but also there's a particular message for us today. Right, the P'aretz. Moshe Rabbeinu is being challenged by Korach. Korach says, "I think you made up the whole Torah. This whole world, Lord, these mitzvahs you're giving us, I think you made the whole thing up." Right? So what does Moshe Rabbeinu says? "Bezos teidun ki Hashem shlochani ki lo milivi." With this, you will know, right, that Hashem sent me and I didn't make up. Meaning, with the ground swelling up Korach, it was an admission that Moshe emes v'Torah so emes. So that's why it's called not just a. It's not called an earthquake. It's not just called an earthquake. It's called a mouth. As the world, the Oretz is articulating that Moshe Rabbeinu is true. It's an admission to the truth of Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's also the earth's admission that the earthly way of life is meant to be the Torah way of life, and not the earthly way of life the way the Goyim see it. Right? As a matter of fact, that's what it says in the beginning of this week's parasha. Balak says, "Hina kisas eina Oretz." This nation has covered the eye of the earth. What does that word mean, eye of the earth? What does that mean? Just now, what's the Pashup Shah? Covered the eye of the earth. It means, right? It means that it covered the earthly perspective. Am Yisrael brings a different perspective to the world, right? And we need an admission that the Am Yisrael's take on reality is the real one. The earth has to admit, and that's P'aretz. The Be'er, as it were, Rashi tells us, the bear itself, through that they saw the body parts of nations that Kodesh Baruch Hu destroyed, for the sake of Am Yisrael, to protect Am Yisrael. Right, the bear also, it makes an admission, right, to Hashgacha Pratis, that Kodesh Baruch Hu is protecting Am Yisrael. That everything that happens in the world, right, Am Yisrael is always protected. It's all for Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael is protected. So now the Pia also, the also. The name of the species is Chamor. Now, why Aton, and it was female, I don't want to get into that right now. That's something to do with, Bilam's perversions, right? The Aton, the name of the species is Chamor. So the Maharal writes in a few places, Chamor is Miloshen Chomer, physicality, right? Just physicality, the lust for anything physical. It could be money, it could be food, it could be anything, right? Just the physical drives, which include all our passions, right? There has to be an admission. Right, that, from physicality itself and physical drives themselves, that we were created for the purpose of the Torah, for the purpose of serving the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Like Chazal say, B'chol levavcha, B'shnei yitzrecha, the Yetzirah and all our physical drives, we're also meant to be harnessed to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we need that admission. And that's what the Pia Asom represents. Because that's what's needed before the end of time, is an admission that, physicality, not ipshat, it could also be harnessed to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No, not also harnessed. Created solely and only for the purpose of serving a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We need that admission. And that's the secret, that Mashiach comes riding a donkey. Vu ani rochev al chamor. So says, the Svarim HaKadoshim, the idea that Mashiach rides a donkey is that the chamor represents all of physicality, chomer. Right? Mashiach rides it, says, this was all meant to be controlled by me. Right, it should all be part of Malchus Melech HaMashiach, which is the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now, of course, when Mashiach rides the donkey, you don't need the donkey to talk. When Avraham Avinu rides the donkey, it's very interesting, the Maharal points out, Avraham Avinu rode a donkey to the Akedah also. Just like Bilam rode a donkey to curse Am Yisrael. Difference is, Avraham Avinu at one point says, Shvulachem poi machamor, he leaves the donkey behind. It says the Maharal, he transcended the physical, and he was pure intellect and pure ruchnius, at that final leg of being willing to sacrifice Yitzhak. So you don't need a donkey to talk when Avinu displays how the donkey doesn't control him in any way. He's beyond the donkey. You don't need the donkey to talk, right? When Mashiach is riding and controlling the donkey. And by the way, that's the secret, the Leshem says, the Leshem, Revelyosha's grandfather, the last of the great Lithuanian Kabbalists, that the secret, that there's going to be an explosion of technology, a technological advancement before the coming of Mashiach. So he says that's all besod chamorol shamashiach, that just the opposite. We have to show, the world has to see how powerful physicality is, that, you know, in physical it includes electricity, it includes nuclear energy, it includes everything that's called physicality. Energy is a part of it. We have to show the full glory of what the physical is capable of, and on top of all of that, Mashiach is going to arrive, to show it's all for Malchus Shemayim. But you have to show that it's all for Malchus Shemayim. You have to show how glorious it is, and yet with all the glory and all the power it has, it's still all for Malchus Shemayim. So the inyan of the whole technological explosion that there is prior to the coming of Mashiach, that's all beside the donkey that Mashiach rides on top of. All the power of physicality that's being harnessed for our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Right, so the donkey doesn't have to talk if Mashiach is riding it. Right? And the donkey doesn't have to talk if Avraham Avinu shows how he's beyond it. Right? But if Bilam is riding the donkey, that's when the donkey has to talk. And the donkey has to speak up. And has to say that I'm not for you. Right? If I wasn't created to serve you, low life that you are, I'm for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm for Am Yisrael. Why do you want to uproot Am Yisrael? The Am Yisrael that, you know, that that does three regalim. So now I want to get back to, with all this, you know, that's all about the admission, right? And we'll talk about what this has to do with today, that we need an admission so badly, an admission from the world. Right? As I say, Bilam puts on a good show. Bilam puts on a good show, as if he's a God-fearing guy. He thinks he could fool HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He tells HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm only going to do what you want. Of course, we're like, boy, what? He tells the Malach, if you don't want me to go, I won't go. Bilam plays a game. Right? Plays a game, presenting himself as a righteous citizen, right? But he, on the inside, he's rotten. But on the outside, he plays it like he's a lover of humanity and a lover of God, like the liberals of today. You know, they tout love, 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 and equality, and all nice words, all nice words. But you know what's on the inside. You bring a conservative speaker to Berkeley, he has to fear for his life. You know, he has to fear for his life from these lovers of humanity. Right? You know, but Bilam puts on a good show, says nice words. And now you can understand that Mishnah and others. The Mishnah says, what's the difference between, you know, the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu and the Talmidim of Bilam? And we ask the question, what do you mean what's the difference? You just said that these have an Ayin Ra as opposed to these who have an Ayin Tova. These have a ruach gevor, as opposed to these have a ruach nemucha. These have a nefesh, nefesh rochama. These have a nefesh shvav. You just said what the difference is, and you have to tell me a chiddush, you know. And because, the Talmidei Bilam are going to Gehenna, and the Talmidei Avraham Avinu are going to Gan Eden. The answer is no. Bilam puts on a good show. Oh, he's, you know, these things, nefesh rochama, ruach nemucha, ayin ra. These are midas. These are all the inner human being. These are characters. But what he does with his arms and legs, and what he says with his mouth, he only says nice things. He puts on a good show. He puts on a really good show. And you might think that since he's, you know, he's putting on a good show, right, that maybe, you know, he acts like a tzaddik, maybe he'll be treated like a tzaddik. And the Mishnah says no, because he's rotten on the inside. Because he's rotten on the inside, he's going to go to Gehenna. Even though he's only rotten on the inside, but on the outside, he puts on a good show. We need an admission, right? We need an admission that all these people are talking about love, humanity, equality, whatever it is, whatever's running right now in the streets. We know that on the inside, it's nefesh rechava, it's ruach gevor, it's ayin ra'a, and it's all on the inside, it's all a war against Am Yisrael, it's all a war against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? You know, but that's what's on the inside, right? On the outside, they put on a good show, as if they have nothing against anybody, and they're fighting for equality, and they're fighting for love, and whatnot. Yeah? Right? And that's when you need admission. When things are not on the inside as they are on the outside, you need admission as to what's really going on, what you're really thinking. And that's what the Pia Asum represents. as it were, physicality itself speaks up and says what's really going on. And the donkey puts Bilam in his place, said, you're going after your titus. You're not serving a Kodesh Baruch. You never didn't have the right to hit me because you're not better than me. Because you're not serving a Kodesh Baruch. What makes you better than me that you're allowed to hit me? You're even worse than I am. Right? And that's the admission that the world is waiting for. Right? And if you want to break it down, this is where we're holding. Bizman Hazeh, right? Shabbos, the end of the seventh millennium, right, comes in, the year 6000, the year 6000 ushers in the seventh millennium. That's Keneged Shabbos, right? So the year 6000, that begins the seventh millennium. That's the big cosmic Shabbos. Where are we right now? Just 200 years away. We're holding Erev Shabbos in the Shmoshes. That's where we are right now. That's on a map of history. We are right now in our time period in the parallel to Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashas. Right? And if you're an interesting thing, in Chumash also, Chazal tells us you could divide up the Chumash into seven parts. Right? There's Breish Shmos Vayikra. There's Bamidbar before the Parsha Vayibin Tzoah. And then there's Bamidbar Parsha Vayibin Tzoah. And then there's Bamidbar after Vayibin Tzoah. And then there's Parsha Devarim, the Sefer Devarim, which is the seventh. Right. Right now we're in the second. We're at the end of the second part of Sefer Bamidbar, which is the sixth section that you can divide the Chumash into. It's Erev Shabbos Ben Hashmashos. Right, and that's and that's why these parshas also come right before the 3 weeks. This is the hardest part. We're trying to bridge Olam Hazeh with the Geula, and that's where there's all the opportunity to fail, all the opportunity to fall out, because it's always hardest before the end. And like we said, we're the one nation that makes the transition, but you could also say we're the one nation that will survive the transition when Olam Hazeh becomes Olam Haba. And that's the corresponding place in Chumash, and that is the corresponding place where we are in history, and the process is not complete until we get a admission from all the forces of creation, particularly the Chamor, particularly the Chomer, particularly the physical. It opens its mouth and admits Hashem Elokei Yisrael Melech U'Malchuso Bakol Mashal. Okay, that's what I wanted to explain. I don't know if there's any ability for anyone to give me questions, address questions to me, but okay, I said my piece. Right?
Okay. That was an awesome share. I mean, that is not a typical share. I just want to tell you, there's a lot of information. Really, thank you. A lot of information is not ordinary. Maybe we're rough ordinary, but I can tell you for most people, this is not ordinary. I really, really appreciate it. And Mr. Stem, I hope we can invite you back. I would love to be here about Purim. I'm sure it's not going to be ordinary either. But thank you so much for taking the time to explain it to us. And